Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. If you're not familiar with the show, you can head over to the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. So excited for this week's show. Joining me at the top of the hour, I'm having a conversation with Christy Kate. She's a creator and showrunner of the upcoming adult indie animated pilot, Mermaid Mafia. You can learn more about Christy by visiting the show blog. Again, that's getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And this project was inspired by her mother's legacy, and she founded Luminary LLC to bring original stories and compelling female characters to life. She is also an accomplished voice actress whose work has helped her build a social media following of more than 100,000 fans, and she's joining us now. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So cool how we connected. We're both with the same voiceover agency. Shout out to the Library Agency. I love them.
Yeah, they represent me for on camera, and they're just amazing, and yeah, I love them.
So cool. So you talked about in our group that you have this project, this pilot, Mermaid Mafia. How did this come about?
So it was really funny. This happened almost 10 years ago. I woke up from a dream, and I was like, oh, wow, this is a really funny pitch for a show, and I'm like, it's really stupid. And then I was like, but you know what? It's also kind of funny. And I was like, maybe it's not so stupid because it is so funny.
Yeah.
So at the time, I was living with my mom, and I go into the kitchen, and she's making her coffee, and I say, hey, Mom, I have an idea for a show. Basically, every once in a blue moon, this is when mermaids get the power to have legs, right?
Okay.
And they can go up on land, and that's how they can procreate, essentially, or, you know, get it on, or that kind of thing, right? The magical blue moon shines its powers down onto these mer people, and that is how they reproduce.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay, because how else would mermaids do that,
of
right?
Course.
That was kind of the thought. And I kind of just gave her my little pitch, and she started laughing.
Okay.
And I was like, ooh, you are not my target audience for this adult animated show, and the fact that you're laughing shows to me I'm onto something.
Okay,
so
good.
I developed the pitch further and kind of came up with the whole show, and
love it.
Yeah, it became like it's like a mafia as well. So basically, the magical blue moons part is part of it, but the lead, Aquatica, she's a mermaid princess, very similar to Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid, in which, you know, she has a protective father, and he won't let her take place in the blue moon activities, basically. And so she gets thrown in jail the first night of the blue moon, and there she meets an anthropomorphic jellyfish named Sparkles.
Cute.
And Sparkles is the most notorious mob boss criminal in all of Mermandia.
So cute.
And it just so happens that Sparkles, having been in a nuclear plant disaster, has these powers that can give eggs to the mer people that'll allow them to have legs for like a day.
Whoa, a day.
Yeah.
I love it. I love this. Isn't it funny when we share stuff with our parents? I remember telling my dad, I'm going to name my show Get the Funk Out. And he's like, I do not like that. And he was like the king of the F-bomb. But isn't it funny? You're like, nope, I'm doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was so funny because my mom has always been super supportive of me. And it was the sort of thing where I knew the show wasn't for her. Like, she would never watch, like, The Family Guy. And I mean, technically, we did watch The Simpsons growing up when I was younger, but very briefly. I think the second they realized I knew what I was watching, they were like, oh, we're not watching this anymore.
Yes. So funny.
But, yeah, so it was exciting that she was like, yeah, that's a fun idea. Go ahead and develop it more, you know?
I love it. So tell me about your journey along the way, because you started Luminary LLC.
Yes. So along the way, I came up with the pitch, the whole story, all the characters. I wrote the script pilot, and I put it through a couple of different writers groups. And, you know, the great thing about writers groups is you get people that are writers saying, like, hey, this isn't working, or I don't understand what's happening, or this joke is not hitting. And it's great because you can rewrite it and bring it back, and you just keep going back. And also, it's good just to kind of hear different people's experiences and opinions and make sure that you're writing authentically.
Definitely.
To all the different characters that you have in the show, which is great. So I basically reworked the script quite a few times. I copy wrote it, changed it, obviously, until I finally have my final lock draft now this year. I created Luminary LLC last year because I decided then, I was like, you know what? I've pitched this to a couple of smaller places that I had connections with.
Okay.
And I did get good feedback, but I was told they already had something similar. And it was the sort of thing where I realized then, just looking at the entertainment sphere in Los Angeles and what is going on here, that, you know, original IP is a huge gamble for companies to take on.
Yes.
You know, and I was like, you know, I don't have an established name myself yet, mm-hmm. wherein I could go in and pitch to a giant studio and be like, here's my show. And they would be like, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. Let's take a risk on this. Right.
Right.
So basically, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna gamble on myself, and I know that that's always a big risk. They say don't produce your own projects, but
Why do they say that? Like,
I think they say that because they think that you're not gonna make any money on it. And to be fair, I have no clue if I will make any money on this or not. Like, I might be in the hole, but at the end of the day, it's been such a joy to be able to hire artists during a time where the animation industry is not really thriving in Los Angeles at the moment. So mm-hmm. it's been great to be able to work with other creatives and just kind of have this fun creative journey together.
I think it's great. I don't think it's wasted time at all, because it could be your calling card for something else, or you never know, you know, just take some time and then someone grabs it.
That's why I keep chalking it off to, I'm like, hey, look, even if it's not a runaway success or anything like that, it's something that I created.
Yes.
And it actually kind of goes back to, my mom had passed away of ovarian cancer in August of 2023.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and that year at her celebration of life, we were celebrating the music she had made when I was a child.
Oh.
And it really made me kind of rethink everything that I had done up in my career. And I love every voiceover job or acting job that I've been able to contribute and be a part of. And it's so rewarding having fans approach me about a character that I may have voiced and how it has helped them through a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And it really made me rethink. I'm like, you know, I'm a writer myself. I have projects that I would love for people to read or see or, mm-hmm. you know, be a part of. And I was like, I'm gonna do this myself now and see what happens. Take a gamble.
Why not? Did you find you wanted to even like create a character to honor your mom or do something in some way in your creativity? Or was this it, this whole project?
I think the project in and of itself is almost honoring her in a way, mm-hmm. in that it's honoring my own creativity.
Yes.
I know that this particular project isn't necessarily like her favorite thing that I had cooked up in my brain. I have mm-hmm. novels I've written that she loved. Like, there is a novel I wrote that she loves so much. But I do feel like at the end of the episode, I want to try to have like a little acknowledgement for her in the credits, you know, just to honor her there or something like that.
I love that. You know, you're really a testament to, I had a casting director say this to me a while ago, have a full life. Don't just focus on this one thing, because look at all the things you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And you, it's really good to nurture your creativity and have different things going on.
Yeah, no, it's good. And it's really helped my own mental health. Like, I was struggling severely leading into her passing because of the anticipatory grief.
Yes.
And right after her passing, because someone who was honestly a best friend to me had just, you know, left.
Of course.
It's so challenging when the person that you would call when you were struggling or whatever isn't there anymore, and you're trying to kind of find other outlets and resources to help you mitigate that loss. And you learn that you just kind of manage around it, that the grief will always kind of be there. But this was my way of trying to manage some of that, you know, anxiety and depression, and just sort of, allowing myself to live more authentically and be bring my light back to the world, if that
yes.
makes sense.
Definitely. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with special guest Christy Kate, creator and showrunner of Mermaid Mafia. What's very interesting, and I've had this happen as well, and I've learned through many funks, is that when you are going through something, to even start something that carries you through. So my stepmom passed away 3 months ago, and we were very close the past 10 years, and she would talk about yoga. So in November, I started practicing yoga, and that carried me through. It helped me. Like, you have this thing that you can turn to in some dark, tough moments.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. It's hard, but I also love yoga. I was actually just doing that right before we started chatting this morning. So that's nice,
great.
That you can honor her by honoring a nice meditative practice.
Definitely, yes. So what are the things that you do? You mentioned yoga and writing, creativity. Have you built this toolkit since going through so much with the loss of your mom?
I'd say I don't have like a regular routine, which might be bad,
okay.
But I do find that EMDR therapy really helped me a lot with
yes.
healing with the traumatic moments. And yoga, of course, I've been doing that for years. I've always loved that, but it was really EMDR that allowed me to get out of like this severe fear mindset, I guess is the word I'll use.
Sure.
I don't know if you've had experience using that, but it really
I have
helped.
Yes.
Me
it's,
at least.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Although I have to say on Zoom it feels like your eyes are tracking a giant blow pop.
Oh, see, you know what's so funny? My therapist has the option to do Zoom or in person, and I was like, you know what? Everything's on Zoom. I'm going to go in person, and so I hold the little buzzy
yes.
mechanism. I don't know the official name of it.
Yes. No, you're smart to go in. I would have done that. But, well, that's great. And you did mention your mom was musical. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. My mom was an amazing singer. She always was one to sing her whole life. And when she turned 18, she flew across the country, joined a rock band, and was a singer.
Love
Funnily
it.
Enough, she met my dad through a mutual coworker when she wasn't singing. And when he found out that she was, you know, a rock star, basically, within her own right, right? He was
yeah.
like, oh, my goodness, I'm a drummer, musician. I gotta meet her. And so that's kind of how they ended up together. And they created a band called The Telling.
Okay.
And so they came up with a few alternative kind of album. So one was called Glimmerfield, one was called Blue Solitaire, and then they also had an EP as well. I think it was just the Telling EP, but
so cool.
They had such cool music, and honestly, one of the biggest gifts that she left me was this music. So I can hear her voice still, and I leave it in my music on my car, and sometimes when I'm driving, it'll hit shuffle and her song will come on, and I'm like, nope, I got to listen to it. Like,
I love that. Maybe there's a way you could put it into one of your episodes of Mermaid Mafia.
You know, somebody else has brought that up to me, too. I will say the vibes are so opposite, though,
mm-hmm.
that it just, I don't know if it'll mesh, but I do feel like at some point in time in my life, I will find a way to hopefully promote her music more, just because she has such a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, recorded during a time before auto-tune and
yes.
all that. And she was such a talented singer that it was honestly intimidating to me to try to sing, because she was always a little bit better of a singer than I am. And she had really good pitch, and she could hear when something was wrong or what. And so
incredible.
I don't have that same skill as her, but I can do great voice impressions and other silly things that I'm sure I picked up somewhere along the way from her or something like that.
I love that. So let's talk about voice acting. What do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions people have? Because some people say, oh, it must be so easy, or, I mean, it's not.
Well, funnily enough, I did not know that being able to do funny voices was a skill. I thought that was something everybody could do. So
mm-hmm.
when I first started acting, I was kind of just, you know, doing background work, and I met somebody on set once that was like, oh, you know, I started doing these voiceover classes, and at the time I was doing more on-camera classes, and I was like, oh, I always loved cartoons, animations, video games, but I've been told that the voiceover industry was really, really hard to get into. Yeah. And so I kind of just wrote it off. But then when I found out that changing your voice was already a skill in and of itself, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just follow that because I love, again, that medium of acting. Yes. And so I started taking these classes. And it really just allowed me to realize how much I also loved being able to be almost like a character actor.
Yes.
On camera, you're more limited to what you look like versus voiceover. You can be silly and crazy and whatever, and it's super fun. And so it's the sort of thing where people forget, though, with the idea of voiceover, that it still is acting.
Oh, yes.
And so I think that's kind of what the challenge is on-camera acting, you have a scene partner, so you have somebody to react off of all the time, versus with voiceover, you're still acting, but now you have to use your imagination to create what that world looks like when you're having this conversation.
Sure.
And it was actually really helpful for me in making Mermaid Mafia, being able to be on the other side of the glass, as they say, and see how other people were being directed, and knowing in my mind what the show was looking like in my head and how the actors needed to kind of match, oh, okay, your character may be further away than this or whatever. And I will say that the cast I hired was phenomenal, like, and the voice director that I hired, Kristen Paiva, great. I really hardly had to do any sort of, you know, hey, actually kind of comments,
sure.
But for the most part, they were able to figure it out, and it was great.
Well, that's easy. Because creating a project like that is not simple.
No. And, you know, you should always kind of know your strengths and weaknesses within this project, because there's so many different hats that you have to wear when you're creating a full 25-minute pilot.
Yes.
That I will be releasing on YouTube this summer.
Yay.
And it's this, yay. And it's the sort of thing where I'm like, okay, look, I know I'm actually not the best at voice directing. I want to line read people to get them to say what I want them to say. And that's not actually the best way for actors to creatively come up with the character lines in the process. And so being able to work with Kristen Paiva was great, because she was able to succinctly give the direction that was in my head that it needed to be said in a quick, timely manner.
Oh, that's great.
So I was like, okay, great.
That's fantastic. Do you have a favorite character or voice that you've performed?
Ooh, I feel like I can't choose my darlings on that, because so many people that come and approach me to different characters have their reasons for liking a certain character so much, if that makes sense. So for me, I'm like, oh, if I pick one, I feel like people will be like, well, what about that one? That one was my favorite, you know? So, yeah, it's hard. They're all fun for different reasons. I think for me personally, though, I just love creating different characters.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's always been kind of a fun little challenge of like, ooh, I hope this character hasn't been heard before. So when people listen to it, they're not associating it with another character I voiced, right? And
right,
it sounds like a completely original thought.
Of course, yeah.
But of course, there will always be limitations to that, I know, and I'm probably getting close to like my limit of like, okay, people are going to start rehearing similar voices, just obviously different intentions, motivations for these characters than previous.
Yeah.
But I will say my funny, like, cat voice, like whatever this is, like I'd still love to do that at some point in time.
You're funny. Is that on your reel?
It was on an old reel of mine a while ago.
So. Okay. I had a great, when I first moved here, I had studied in Boston. I had a great teacher, animation teacher, and she would say, write a character and then we'll voice it. And I remember creating this cute little girl, no teeth, lisp and all that, but it's a process. And, sometimes you hear something and you'll be in your car, right? And you're like, oh, let me try this. And you're just coming up with characters. And so I feel like it's an endless repertoire you develop over time.
Yes, and I remember earlier coaches that I had worked with in voiceover were very much emphasizing the idea of characters that you can create may end up just being a bad impression of something that already exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because it's bad, I'm putting this in quotes, it actually makes it a unique character that's true to you. So,
sure.
Right? Like, maybe this is sort of like a character that's kind of like Christopher Walken, right? But obviously, I don't sound like Christopher Walken. No one would ever be like, that's Christopher Walken. But that is sort of a unique sort of speech pattern that I'm putting on right here.
Yes.
If I wanted it to be, you know, my version of a character, I don't know.
I know. No, I didn't mean. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's what's interesting about the whole voiceover field and everything you're doing is that you're constantly learning, at least you should be. And even I found taking improv classes and meeting other people and just always growing. And I love, Christy, that you're in this creative field, because that is such a lifelong recipe for, you know, just throwing your energy into things, especially when life gets bumpy.
Exactly. Yes. It's good to keep moving and, you know, not just to lie in a pit of depression.
No, of course. Of course. What would you like to tell listeners about Mermaid Mafia? Anything that we didn't touch on?
You know, guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm really excited for you to check out the project. It's going to be played at Mermaid Mafia TV on YouTube. Hopefully this August or September.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're currently in the animation process.
Mm-hmm.
I have a meeting with the team later today, so it will be fully animated. I know right now there's sort of a trend with animatics being put up, which is great too, but for this one, I'm like, nope, we're going to do the full kit gang and caboodle, whatever that expression is.
I have no idea, but it sounded fine. Go ahead.
But, so it will be basically coming out. I'd love for you to follow me on any of those social channels to see updates. Today I'm going to be highlighting an artist that we hired for the backgrounds named Victor Haw. And I'm so grateful that he applied to work on this project, because he came up with some phenomenal backgrounds for this. And I'm really excited to start sharing more of the artwork on socials, and I'm excited for you guys to see the show. And just know, tonally, you guys, this is a silly, silly show. Like, it is dumb funny, you know. So if you're just looking for something
dumb funny,
you know, ridiculous to see, where you're like, okay, you know, that's what this show is.
So let me ask you one more thing before we wrap up, Christy. When self-doubt hits, when you're in a funk, creative funk, what keeps you going?
I think friends and family are ultimately what keeps me going. Adding in the creativity helps, but then there are even moments where you're just questioning your own creativity and you're like, oh, wait, maybe this is a dumb idea, right? And so ultimately for me, having a good support system of people that love you no matter what is the best, like, recipe for success.
Definitely, yes. Where can people learn more about you?
I am located at Christy Kate VO on all socials. So ChristieCate, and then VO for voiceover. Basically Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all the places.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Christy, I want to thank you so much for calling in. This has been great, and congratulations on all you're doing. And I can't wait to check it out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me today. I had so much fun chatting with you, and I hope everybody else has a wonderful day as well that was listening. Thank you.
Awesome. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye.
That was Christy Kate, creator and showrunner for Mermaid Mafia, which is going to be on YouTube probably around August, I believe she said. We'll get updates, and I'll put it up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And if you want to learn more about Christy, her bio is up on the show page, as well as these adorable posters and images of the show Mermaid Mafia. There's a QR code. Again, creator and showrunner for Mermaid Mafia, an upcoming adult indie animated pilot produced by her company, Luminary LLC. If you want to find out about KUCI, you can head over to our website, kuci.org. You can check out our socials at KUCI. FM. And if you head to our main page, you'll learn all about our eclectic mix of shows, from music to public affairs. There's so much talent here at the station. If you want to pitch me a guest, whether it's yourself or someone else, you can send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E at KUCI.org. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be speaking with authors Jason Fetty and Michael Waldman about their book, The Glory of Groveling. That title alone makes me smile, actually. I put their information on the show blog as well. And here's the premise. What if a sincere apology could lead to more freedom, stronger relationships, and greater happiness? You can join me at 9:30 for a fascinating conversation with authors Jason Fetty and Michael Waldman, co-authors of The Glory of Groveling, Apology, A Simple Path to More Freedom and Happiness. We're going to talk about why apologizing is even harder than it should be, how it can transform our personal and professional relationships, and why owning our mistakes may be one of the most powerful tools of human connection. Again, their information and their book cover is up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And they're coming up at 9:30, Jason Fetty and Michael Waldman. We'll take a little break, and then we will be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.